ideas brought chaos and anarchy to streets which normally had to cope with nothing more alarming than a few simple assault rifles, which, as we know, in the States are perfectly legal, and without which they would be overrun by herds of deer, overbearing government officers, and lawless British tea importers. My late friend Graham Chapman, an idiosyncratic driver at the best of times, used to exploit the mutual incomprehension of British and U.S. driving habits by always carrying both British and Californian driver's licenses. Whenever he was stopped in the U.S., he would flash his British license, and vice versa. He would also mention that he was just on his way to the airport to leave the country, which he always found to be such welcome news that the police would breathe a sigh of relief and wave him on. But though there are frequent misunderstandings between the Europeans and the Americans, at least we've had decades of shared movies and TV to help us get used to each other. Outside those bounds, you can't make any assumptions at all. In China, for instance, the poet James Fenton was once stopped for having a light on his bicycle. "How would it be?" the police officer asked him severely, "if everybody did that." However, the most extreme example I've come across of something being absolutely forbidden in one country and normal practice in another is one I can't quite bring myself to believe, though my cousin swears it's true. She lived for several years in Tokyo, and tells of a court case in which a driver who was being prosecuted for driving up onto the pavement, crashing into a shop window and killing a couple of pedestrians, was allowed to enter the fact that he was blind drunk at the time as a plea in mitigation. What are the rules you need to know if you are moving from one country to another? What are the things that are compulsory in one country and forbidden in another? Common sense won't tell you. We have to tell each other. The Independent on Sunday. Introductory remarks. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody who knows me will know what a big thrill it is for me to be here to introduce this band tonight. I've been a very, very great fan of Gary Brooker and Procol Harum ever since 30 years ago, when they suddenly surprised the world by leaping absolutely out of nowhere with one of the biggest hit records ever done by anybody at all, ever, under any circumstances. They then surprised the world even more by turning out to be from Southend and not from Detroit, as everybody thought. They then surprised the world even more by their complete failure to bring out an album within 4 months of the single on the grounds that they hadn't written it yet. And then, in a move of unparalleled marketing shrewdness and ingenuity, they also actually left a whiter shade of pale off the album. They never did anything straightforwardly at all, as anyone who's ever tried to follow the chords of A Rum Tale will know. Now, they had one very, very particular effect on my life. It was a song they did, which I expect some of you here will know, called Grand Hotel. Whenever I'm writing, I tend to have music on in the background, and on this particular occasion, I had Grand Hotel.